All right, United States versus Behrendt. Mr. Cohen.
May it please the court. My name is William Cohen. I represent the defendant, Joseph Behrendt. Back in June of 2006, Joseph Behrendt was 48 years old. He was living at his parents' home. He had lived there since high school. In June of 2006, his parents became ill. As a result of that, Joseph left his house and moved to the Blue Cloud Ministry in South Dakota. While he was gone, his family went through the house, went through the basement of the house in order to get it ready to sell. Apparently, Joseph was a pack rat and kept everything that he ever had. Also, he was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic by Dr. Rutt during the course of this case. When Joseph came back from the Blue Cloud Ministry in August of 2006, he was questioned by two federal agents. During that questioning, Joseph admitted to the agents that he had made these pipe bombs that were found in the room where he lived while he was back in high school. That would have been about 30 years from the time that they were found in 2006.
But the government argues that this is a continuing offense, correct?
Yes.
I mean, why wouldn't it be? I mean, what if he picked up a kilo of cocaine 20 years ago and he still had it in his basement living area when they searched it?
If you look back, potentially that could be a continuing offense, but...
Well, potentially it would be, wouldn't it?
Well, potentially it could be, depending on the circumstances of the case, and I'm narrowing this case to the facts and circumstances presented. Based upon the facts and circumstances here, and in light of the Toosie decision by the Supreme Court made it very clear that continuing offenses are not favored and they shouldn't be found, and that the statute of...
What does this mean? This means he can keep the stuff? He can keep his collection of pipe bombs?
No, it doesn't mean that at all. In fact,
why?
Well, because it would be potential.
They bring a civil suit to try to condemn the pipe bombs as a nuisance?
That's correct. They could bring a civil suit.
Meanwhile, while that's been being litigating, while that's going through its protracted litigation process, there he is with his bombs.
Well, I don't think he would be allowed to keep those bombs.
What would be the basis on which he wouldn't be allowed to keep them?
Well, because the bombs, as they were...
Lawful possession.
Well, to him it might have been lawful possession, but to the government and to society and under the laws, it would be illegal. The difference is, I'm not saying...
They have to bring a civil suit, presumably, if it's an illegal product.
Correct. They should have brought a civil suit to forfeit it, but they would have been barred from bringing a criminal prosecution against the defendant.
Isn't there a statute of limitations for civil suits to condemn condemn something as... No?
Well, I'm not sure, Your Honor, but I would guess that... I'm not familiar with that area of the law, but I would guess that there is a statute of limitations of some sort.
And he'd be scot-free. He'd be living happily with his pipe bombs.
Well... I'm not contending that he would be allowed to keep those pipe bombs.
But you've just said you think there's a statute of limitations for a civil suit. So why wouldn't it be effective against the effort to forfeit them?
Well, perhaps it could be. That would be a different case.
But then, no, it would be a different case. But would it underline the absurdity of your position, right? Because it would show that, given a statute of limitations, if you create a dangerous or illegal substance and manage to conceal it for long enough, then it becomes yours to enjoy its continued possession of.
Well, the as you pointed
out, adverse possession, right?
Well, the possession itself could be potentially criminal, depending upon the circumstances.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Well, there's a statute of limitations of 3 years. And if the possession exceeds that 3 years, potentially it could be, from that defendant's standpoint, non-criminal in nature. If he, on the other hand, turned around and transferred it.
No. He's happy with his collection. He doesn't want to. He's just waiting for when the Martians invade or something like that. He can defend the country. So It's peaceable possession, right?
Well, it, then...
So it's fine, in your view.
Well, if, in fact...
The government can do.
If in fact, the statute had run, I think that would be correct.
It breaks, right.
Well, Toosey makes...
He's assembled an atomic bomb, which is illegal for individuals to possess. As long as he can keep it hidden for 3 years, he's scot-free.
Are there any possession counts in criminal law that are not subject to the continuing possession theory?
I would say that the defense that I'm raising here would apply to possession of most drug offenses, yes. And
so you're saying that your defense here would apply that if you got a couple of kilos of cocaine and you put it in your basement, and now it's been 10 years, whatever, your possession becomes immunized. The law cannot punish you for it.
I'm trying to draw a fine distinction. It wouldn't be totally immunized if your possession in that example was kept within the confines of the defendant's house. Perhaps it would be, so no one would know about it. If the defendant, in your given example, took that kilo of cocaine, turned around, tried to sell it to somebody, that would be a criminal offense.
Yeah, and if he did that, and 10 years had passed, you couldn't reach it back and prosecute him for that act.
Perhaps they could not prosecute him for the possession of cocaine, but they could prosecute him for the sale of the cocaine, in your given example. And it actually makes logical sense. It, with all due respect, is while at first blush it might appear to be somewhat absurd.
Preposterous, yeah, it does. I must
when
say.
When
even at second
to
blush
it
appears ridiculous.
Well, when you get down to it and you analyze it under Toosey, it actually makes logical sense. Because Toosey points out that continuing offenses are not favored. And in fact, in reviewing the Toosey decision, they did not say that possession of drugs is a continuing offense. The crimes that they pointed out in Toosey, like conspiracy or RICO statutes, often are involved
but
with...
But you don't seem to understand the point, which is that you're creating a formula by which people can get... can get a good title to illegal and extremely dangerous things.
Well,
just by hiding it for the statutory period.
Well,
it should be very easy to do.
I'm not advocating that, and I don't think that this case...
Yes, you are. Of course you're advocating that.
I'm asking that this case be confined to its particular facts.
You can't do that. You have to argue for a principle. And the principle you're arguing for is that anyone who can conceal an illegal product for 3 years obtains good title, and the government can't take it away from him except maybe through some civil process.
Well,
they can't punish him. So
that's he may not be able to be prosecuted. That is correct.
That's pretty shocking.
Well, I think it is based upon Toosey, and it qualifies under Toosey.
I wasn't thinking about that.
Well. When they outlined Toosey and they outlined some basic principles, those principles included the fact that continuing offenses shouldn't be favored. If you're concerned, why not? Because Congress made it clear when they passed statute of limitations that there are limits on the time that the government can prosecute. The exceptions they found for continuing offenses would be like RICO cases or conspiracy cases. They weren't talking about possession of...
Possession is where you really need the concept of a continuing offense. Otherwise, you create the dangers that we've been asking you about.
But if that... And that may be correct from a legal standpoint, Your Honor, and if that's true, then it's up to Congress to create that exception as opposed to the court. I think both the majority and the dissent in Toosey both said that continuing offenses are not favored and that the statute of limitations should be favored. And applying those principles to this case under these facts, the defendant should, his prosecution should be barred. And I see my time is quickly evaporating. I wanted to save some for rebuttal unless some...
Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
Thank you so
much. Mr.
This court said in the Yashar decision that the hallmark of a continuing offense is that it perdures or continues beyond the initial act, and each day brings a renewed threat of the evil Congress sought to prevent. I can't see how anything would more apply than pipe bombs that were wrapped in roofing nails that Congress has essentially outlawed the possession of through Title 26 offenses. Here we have precisely that situation where the evil continues. And I would disagree with my colleague. I believe possession of cocaine, no matter when it's received, whether 10 years ago or 20 years ago, remains a continuing offense. Indeed, Your Honor,
doesn't it get stale after a while?
I don't think it does, but I believe that the possession of it continues to be a crime. I know of no offense where the essential ingredient is possession, where it is not a continuing offense, or where any court has held that possession of something that's inherently illegal would not be deemed a continuing offense. And that's because the evil of it perdures, it continues in this particular case. So I think, obviously, the district court had it right. The statute of limitations defense was neither supported by law. In fact, Mr. Cohen cited the wrong statute in his jury instruction, and the motion to dismiss was correctly denied. I'll cede the rest of my time, unless you have questions.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Mr. Cohen, I think he has a minute left. Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I want to make it clear also in this case that there were two elements besides just the possession. The other second element was the registration or failure to register these pipe bombs. And that, I believe, Your Honor, those facts were completed. The crime was completed within the three-year period of time when the defendant failed to register them. Now, in this case, if you believe that the statute of limitations hasn't run, I believe the defendant was entitled to present that defense to the jury, and Judge Miller refused to allow my instruction. The government correctly pointed out before the district court I cited the wrong statute of limitations.
Your argument about registration is also, I think, rather perverse, because suppose the government says, well, you must register within a year. And then for something else it's really worried about and says you must register within a week. So on your view, the person who has to register within a week gets his immunity sooner than the person who had to register within a year, right?
Well, in your hypothetical, I'm not sure exactly what you mean, but if...
Well, because after the day eight, after the seventh day has passed, he has violated the statute, and the statute of limitations starts to run, and therefore it will expire sooner than on the person who had a year.
If the statute actually says the defendant had 1 year to or 1 week to register, then the statute of limitations would begin to run
precisely
after that 1 week. Yes.
Right. Sooner.
Yes.
And therefore he gets possession of his nuclear bomb or something quicker than he would if he had a year, because it was a less urgent need for registration. So that's a paradox that your position produces.
Well, if that is in fact the way the statute was in your hypothetical, then that's the way it would come out, yes. Unless Congress passed a statute that said that possession of drugs is a continuing offense and that the statute wouldn't run. But my position is that Congress hasn't done that, and therefore the statute would apply.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Cohen. You were appointed, were you not?
Yes, Your Honor.
So we thank you for your efforts on behalf
thank
of
you,
your
Your
client,
Honor.
And we thank Mr. Schmidt as well.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And the court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.